John Busby with a Culture Buzz, and you know me, I like to really every so often give you some what I consider incredible life resource books. And the conversation is going to take some wonderful twists and turns and provide some great things for you, because I am going to be sharing with you a conversation with Rebecca Simon Peter. She is an incredible woman. The more I read about her, the more I understand about her, the more I read her book, the more I'm just enthralled by what she has to share. Her book is called Dream Like Jesus, Deepen Your Faith, and Bring the Impossible to Life. And she is an inspirational person, but she's really kind of like a Johnny Appleseed of faith. She plants these seeds in people and in groups and across the country and around the world, and she lets them sprout in divine ways. And we're going to find out more about what she is doing. We're going to be topical too, because I don't have to, you know, dance around the elephant in the room. We are dealing with a health crisis throughout the world, and I think maybe learning a little bit more about how we can deepen our faith and bring the impossible to life might be a very good thing to discuss, and Rebecca's the person to help lead the conversation. By the way, her website, and I'll mention this two or three times in the course of our conversation, is Rebecca Simon Peter, R-E-B-E-K-A-H, SimonPeter.com. And like I said, I'll mention it a couple more times because I want you to get that. And go to your local independent bookseller. Just say, I heard about Rebecca Simon Peter's new book, Dream Like Jesus. I want to get a copy. They will make sure they get a copy in your hands if they're sold out when you happen to stop by the first time. The second time, you'll get the book. Rebecca, welcome to the Culture Buzz. And thank you so much for what you're doing, because something that a lot of my audiences know is that I have kind of a very unique ministry niche. I sing with a gospel quintet. We sing several services throughout the year with our church. We sing for public events, things like that, funerals. We've sung at weddings. And ministry is such an important thing, and ministry is based in faith and kind of sharing. And so I'm going to toss that out there on the table and let you either use those pieces or say, well, let's kind of work on something else, because I gave you a whole bunch to start with. I know I kind of like threw this buffet of conversation at you, and you have to decide what you want to consume today, Rebecca.
All right. Well, John, it's such a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me, and I really look forward to having a conversation with you in such a way that your audience is touched, moved, and inspired, and empowered themselves. Maybe it would help for me to start by just talking about what I mean by dream like Jesus.
Yes.
And I'll tell you just a little bit about me. I'm born and raised Jewish. Speaking of broad backgrounds, born and raised Jewish, Catholic dad, Jewish mom, raised Jewish in the Reformed tradition, later had a God experience that moved me into the Orthodox Jewish tradition, and then a little bit after that had a Jesus experience, which moved me into the realm of discipleship. Now, none of that was on my radar screen as I was growing up, when I was bat mitzvahed at the age of 13 or went to Israel with my confirmation class at the age of 16. I was kind of part of the tribe of sex, drugs, and rock and roll in high school. And I grew up, you know, loving being Jewish, loving God, loving religion and all of that. And then I sort of graduated when I was confirmed, like a lot of kids do. I, quote, graduated and, you know, went off to sort of live the party life. And then I had this big experience in Israel that led me back to a deeper relationship with Judaism and to the Orthodox world. And it was about 6 years later that I had a Jesus experience, which, you know, completely unexpected, knocked my socks off. And to tell you the truth, I wasn't that happy about it, because it seemed to me like Jesus was coming to me out of left field. I had my life planned. Thank you very much. And you know, what am I supposed to do now? Well, the interesting thing, John, about this experience was that Jesus came in this vision to me, and very Jewish looking, curly dark hair, curly thick beard, olive skin, brown eyes, and just the warmest smile, and love communicated through his eyes. And I just felt like he spoke to me that he loved me, he understood me, he accepted me. And I was brand new in recovery from addiction at the time. And so I went to my recovery partners and sort of checked in, hey, this weird thing just happened, what do I do? And a friend said, well, I'll buy you a copy of the New Testament. And I thought, well, I'm not reading that. And she got me to me, and she was in seminary. I decided I wanted to go to seminary. If she was going to be there, I could be there. And that started my journey into Christian discipleship.
Wow.
And a heck of a journey, and completely unexpected. You know, just when you think you know what's going to happen, Jesus shows up, or a pandemic breaks out, or, you know, something to keep us on our toes. And I think that really is the life of faith, is that, you know, what does it take to have such internal resources and resilience and trust and connectedness and groundedness that you can go with the flow and that you can be a contribution, you can be a blessing. So when I started to write about Dream Like Jesus, it had occurred to me, you know, when I first came into the church, that there would be miracles, right? Because I had experienced one. Jesus mm-hmm. comes to me in this vision, there's going to be miracles. I get to the church, and I was like, huh, not so much. You know, like, I've seen more miracles in my recovery groups, you know, people getting sober and clean and their lives turning around. But Jesus had come to me. That meant something. He called me into the church. That meant something. And so I've been called to the church for the last 30 years, and I loved it. I absolutely loved my church work. I served a black church, a white church, a rural church in Wyoming. But it began to be clear to me that churches had stopped dreaming big. You know, they'd stopped dreaming like Jesus, and it was more about survival, and it was more about taking care of our own, and less about really being a blessing out in the community. And it struck me that Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that prayer was Jesus's dream, that all of the earth would somehow be a reflection of heaven. You know, that the goodness and the love and the light and the forgiveness and the inclusion and the humor and the justice and the equity, all that stuff, that somehow we're supposed to live in such a way that people experience that here on earth. And I thought, man, if churches would just be agents of this kingdom dream, imagine how our communities could transform. And so that's what I mean by dreaming like Jesus.
Wow.
Is having that sort of kingdom-oriented vision, not just, Pastor, I hope you're not marry me when I die. I've had plenty of people say that to me. But really, the church becomes the agent of the vision, and the community is the recipient of it.
Yes.
So
There's something else I've been getting from your book and from listening to you just kind of reinforces that, and that is to really deepen one's faith, one has to be constantly flexible and receptive to what is being fed to you. Because I think part of the turnoff for people when they go to a church and they find kind of a rigid, calcified thing, they don't feel that energy, that life, that, like you said, in recovery groups, that's what that's about. That rebirth type thing is so prevalent, and that's the enthusiasm. And now I'm going to really challenge you here, Rebecca. I want you to kind of tie those little nuggets I toss on the table with what we're dealing with the health crisis right now in America.
Yeah.
And by the way, folks, I want you to connect with Rebecca. There is so much more to this woman. It's just like, I'm just barely looking at the tip of the iceberg of what she has to offer you. Go to her website, RebeccaSimonPeter.com. Rebecca is a wonderful way it's spelled, R-E-B-E-K-A-H, SimonPeter.com. That's where you connect. Okay, I put it on the table. Okay. Let's see if you can connect these dots.
I'm going to pick it up. So what you're saying is absolutely true. When churches are rigid and calcified, it tends to be because they're doctrinaire, and there isn't that connection with the living spirit. I think God has given us an opportunity right now for churches to show what a valuable resource they are to the community, not by pushing a certain doctrine or a certain set of beliefs, but by actually living those beliefs out into the community, showing love, showing connection, showing care, and a living spirituality. I always like to say that Jesus didn't come to make Judaism great again. Jesus came to introduce people to a vision that transcended even Judaism itself, the kingdom of God, the end, you know, for all people, the final vision and goal. And in this is a perfect time for us as people of faith, whatever the faith is, to have that big kingdom dream, that big divine dream, that imagined future condition that doesn't even exist yet, and live into that, because people in our communities need to know that they can be connected, that they're safe, that somebody cares about them, that there's prayer, that there's a positive vision, that it isn't just, oh my God, we have to turn over and die, or, you know, life comes to a halt. And, you know, honestly, church people can be really good at this kind of life-giving thing, because we're great at small groups and praying for each other and cooking for each other and reaching out and showing that we care. So I actually think this is a time in which churches could absolutely shine and rise to the occasion.
And, you know, and am I off base in thinking that because I can believe in what you just said, that doesn't mean I'm required to go in and physically be at my church in large groups, again, kind of contradicting the science that's out there. And I do believe that science and Bible coexist. So I think that, you know, we have wisdom out there because of what has been given us. So use that wisdom the right way.
Absolutely. And John, even if we weren't in the middle of this pandemic, my counseling for churches is not to figure out how to get more people to come to you. It's to figure out how to get out into the community. Go be the message out of the community. Go be the love. Go be, you know, you may be the only gospel some people ever read, as the saying goes. And so this is just a perfect time to do that, especially in the midst of social distancing. You know, we need social solidarity. We need connections. We need people to be checking up on each other. And I think this may be the pivot point for the church. Okay, we got to get out there. How are we going to do it?
You know, it just clicked with me. One of the mantras that I share with people on a regular, it's kind of a challenge on a regular basis, is I expect people to be cultural adventurers. And there's where that broad sweep of the cultural brush comes, because cultural also means spiritual adventurers. Be an advocate, be a minister out there in the world, because, you know, if you're preaching to the choir, they know the song. So get out there, folks.
Yeah, it's really great. I'm actually in the middle of 40 days of apostleship, which is kind of a Lenten journey. For your listeners that may not know about Lent, it's a 40-day period of preparation between Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday, in which people prepare themselves spiritually to sort of rise again. And I'm a big proponent that we need to not only, you know, those who are called to believe in Jesus, but believe like Jesus, because that tapping into that inner divinity, that inner source, that spirituality, is what allows you to actually have a miracle-making mindset, so that you can go out in the world and really be like Jesus by being the kind of person around whom miracles happen. And I think we're called to do that. This is such a perfect time to practice that.
It is.
That space for miracles, yeah.
Folks, go to Rebecca's website, RebeccaSimonPeter.com. R-E-B-E-K-A-H, SimonPeter.com. And as we wrap things up here, I want you to return one more time, because we hear so many people use phrases like, what would Jesus do? Be like Jesus. The book that you have just shared with us, gifted us, really, Dream Like Jesus. I'll let you just take a minute to wrap things up with why Dream Like Jesus is such an important kind of additional facet for one spiritual journey.
Thank you so much, John. And again, it's been a pleasure to be here with you. Well, maybe I'll just leave you with these five surprise elements of a Jesus-like dream. Quite often, institutions, churches, synagogues get inward-focused. And I think that the gift of spirituality, the divine gift, is to be larger than oneself and to share something, to be a channel, to be a vessel for the divine energy. And when I talk about dreaming like Jesus, I tell people the dream has to expand assumptions about what's possible. It's got to be bigger than you are. It's got to scare you so that you actually need to have God to accomplish it. And it's got to be about the flourishing of the community, not just the survival of your particular institution. And finally, it's got to inspire people and unify people. I don't care what faith tradition you're part of or if you're not part of any. If you have those five surprise elements to your vision, to your dream, you will be a blessing. And the community will be blessed by you. And I think if coronavirus has taught us one thing, it's that we really can bless each other, even as we're keeping each other safe in this time and place.
Amen. Folks, do yourself a favor. Learn more about what Rebecca Simon Peter has to offer you. She's got a great new book out, Dream Like Jesus, Deepen Your Faith and Bring the Impossible to Life, RebeccaSimonPeter.com. And of course, Rebecca, as you should know by now, is spelled R-E-B-E-K-A-H, SimonPeter.com. Get connected to this incredible spiritual person and enhance your life in great ways. Thank you so much for what you do. You have so much to offer people through your website, Rebecca, and a great ticket to get there. Get the book Dream Like Jesus, folks. You will enjoy that journey. Rebecca, thank you so much for this, and I have a feeling there may be a potential continuing the dialogue down the road with you, because, like I said, just the tip of the iceberg has been seen today.
Thanks, John. I would love to stay connected, and it was great to be with you and your audience, and don't forget to wash your hands.
Take care. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.